Frank Bessenjack invested $86,000 in renovating his home. So he was a little concerned when he saw some cracks in the drywall. The contractors came by to fix it, but then more cracks showed up. Went a little further, a little further inspection, he also found multiple cracks in his driveway, but didn't realize the gravity of the situation until he pulled up the carpet and discovered a deep crack running through most of his house. Frank hired a structural engineer for expert advice and was hit with some shocking news. There was a 55-foot wide sinkhole directly underneath his house. On the surface, Frank's house looked normal for the most part, but it was masking a disaster waiting to happen. Below the surface, it was all about to fall apart. Frank had a problem. His house was built on a foundation that was unpredictable and inevitably destructive. This morning, our tech talks about another foundation that is solid and eternally durable, the foundation of the church. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to read verses 10 through 23. Verses 10 through 23, and this is the powerful word of God. According to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundations with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If a man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he will become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So then let no man boast in men, for all things belong to God. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of all wisdom, here we are this morning, Father. Thank you for your word. Please speak to our hearts that we, O God, we come under the conviction that you alone are the God of wisdom. Father, you call us to be good builders, joining you in the work of building your church. Will you please find us faithful? Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ is the only foundation of the church. Paul preached and taught the gospel of Jesus Christ by the grace of God given to him, not his own strength, but by the grace of God. You see, we can do nothing of kingdom value. Do nothing of kingdom value, nothing for God, except by the grace of God. And so for 18 months, he preached to the Corinthians. He preached and taught Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his glorious resurrection, his ascension, and return. He is at the foundation the church is built on. Paul said, I have laid the foundation, the person and work of Jesus Christ. As we alluded to, and as you already assume, in construction, the foundation is very important. The foundation is very important. Everything in the building is laid and supported by the foundation. And Jesus illustrated this fact when he told a parable in Matthew 7 about the wise and foolish builders. You know the parable? Wise man built his house on a solid rock, a solid foundation. But what did the foolish man, what did he do? He built his house on the sand. The Bible says a great storm came. It beat upon the wise man's house. It beat stormy, but it stood. But the foolish man's house fell. And the Bible said it was a great fall. When Paul founded the church in Corinth, he knew others would come after him and build on the foundation he had set up. Building on the foundation. He said, I lay the foundation, another is building on it. Paul was a church planter, preaching the gospel, laying the foundation of Christ, his work, his death, the resurrection, and offering salvation to all who believe. Paul leaves after laying the foundation, and he as a serious warning for those coming after him, and even for us today. Be careful. Be careful how you build on the foundation. A minister of a local church has a grave responsibility to build upon the foundation a strong structure, if not a superstructure. A strong structure of his ministry. There is a right way and a wrong way to build the church of Christ, build it on Christ's foundation. Building on Christ. Ministers, men called and gifted, are to build the foundation by God's blueprint, by God's plan, by God's design. Now, in the broadest sense, all of us Christians who are serving the Lord are ministers. We are ministers. And the warning also goes to us that we are to be careful. Your Sunday school teacher, be careful what you teach them. If you are a Bible study leader, be careful. Study those materials. Investigate. If you have doubt, come to the pastor. I want you to make sure that what I'm teaching is right. Don't just grab anything and start to teach. We are to build on the one and only foundation, Jesus Christ. For no man can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, meaning his person, his deity, his life, his death, his salvation, his doctrines, his resurrection, his ascension, his Holy Spirit who lives in all Christians, his return, and all that it entails. If your materials are not based on any of these things, be careful. Be careful. All this truth is found in the Bible. One commentator wrote, Jesus Christ is the foundation for every Christian, for every local church, and for the universal church. Any church which begins to move away from the person and work of Christ begins to slide spiritually and will soon collapse totally and crumble. It is said, a Greek philosopher infiltrated the Corinthian church and were laying a different foundation of philosophy, of speculation, of reasoning, and theories. There were also the Hebrew Judaizers who wanted to lay a different foundation in this church, the foundation of good works, saying if a person wants to be saved, they have to keep the works of the Mosaic law. But Paul declared dogmatically, clearly, strongly, that there is only one foundation, Jesus Christ. Every minister, every church worker, therefore, must make Jesus Christ the center of his ministry. I've been in the church for many years. And you who have been coming here for years, you know we teach from nothing else but the Bible. We strive. We know this truth. And we'll continue to be like that from pastor to pastor. So it started as a Sunday school, 10. Here it is, the word of God endures. It's eternal. I will pray it stays that way by the grace of God. It is all about the word of God, proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So be careful how you build on this foundation. Your work will be tested. Everything we do here will be revealed on that day. Your work will be tested. We as ministers, Christians who do ministry work, and as mentioned earlier, teachers, Sunday school, must build with care, building on the foundation, because our work will be tested. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. First, we have to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have to build the church of Christ with the right materials so that the church will be strong, will grow strong and effective for Christ. Two kinds of materials are named here. Two kinds of materials are Paul named that are listed. Those are, one is valuable and permanent, and the other are worthless, short-lived, and temporary. Paul is using these materials as symbols of what we as ministers and church workers and Christians do and say in ministry. Especially minister, what do we teach and preach? How do we equip the saints to do the work of ministry? How do we live out our ministry in practical ways? The gold and silver are costly stones for which the minister it refers to pure doctrine. Pure the gold, the silver, pure doctrine you should teach to help Christians develop Christ-likeness, to grow in Christ. And generally, all Christians are to build with the precious stone, the costly stone. We also symbolize God-glorified attitude. How is our attitude to ministry and towards others as we render our services from Christ? Can they be classified as gold, precious, as gold and precious stone? Or are they hay and straw, which symbolize work of Christians who are not serving the Lord wholeheartedly? Our work for the Lord will be tested before the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each man will receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." When our work is tested before the Lord with fire, we will be rewarded according to what remains. One commentator said, "It is a sobering thought. Many people who live and are serving God but are not doing it, but are doing it in an unworthy manner or with unworthy materials. They will come to find in eternity that they have in reality done nothing for the Lord." He went on to say that they will have no crowns to give to Jesus. A man dreamed one night and he went into heaven. And he got there and two angels came to him and they began to pile up all that he has done here, his work. And they piled up, and they piled up, and they piled up. It was a long, huge pile of work. And he exited from before him. And another man came. Pow! He lit the fire. He sat there. And the work was burning. The pile of work was burning. Testing what he has done for God here. And at the end, the pile went flat. Nothing remained. The angel came and started raking the dust. He found one or two hard material. Turn to the man. It's all you work for the Lord. I wonder how many of us, when our pile of works, all our works pile up before the Lord and set on fire, will remain. All the basic things we do in ministry, how much of that will remain? Will the pile burn down to the ground? Nothing. After the testing by fire, Paul goes on to say the church is a temple. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is who you are. Holy people of God. Holy. That is who you are. Paul is stressing that these Corinthians believers collectively as a local church are a temple of God. Part of the great temple of God. Of the universal church. They are visible spiritual temples. Not a physical temple. The Bible speaks of three temples. The body of the Christian, individual Christian, the universal temple, the universal church, Ephesians 2:20 to 22. And thirdly, the local church, 1 Corinthians 3:16. A temple is where the presence of God is. So when we come to church on Sunday, you think God can meet God here, right? No, we come with him. We are the temple of God. That's why the Bible is clear. That's who you are, the temple of God. Where we are, there the presence of God is. Christians are the temple of God. The local church believers, we host the presence of God. Not a building, not a physical building. Not a physical building. And we come, we tell the church, oh, son, we're in the church. You're in the church at home. The temple is at home. Not a physical building, but believers collectively, we are the temple of God. Amen? And the Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. Paul is giving it to the Corinthians because a lot of things were going on. Carnality was evident. And that's a warning for us too, that we are the temple of God. Not the physical building. I like one commentator said, he had this to say. As we have done something terrible when we have talked about the church building as being the house of God or the temple of God. You heard that? That would mean that the building is more sacred than the people. But it is the people who are the house of God, are the temple of God. But it is not just what goes on inside a building, but what goes on inside a people. That's important. We together, the local church of believers, are the temple of God. And the Bible says in point C, don't destroy the temple of God. This goes especially to ministers, pastors. They can destroy the temple of God by not watching over the flock, protecting the flock. In Corinth, this thing was happening. There were some who were doing this. There were those ministers who wanted to follow Greek philosophers. They were destroying the local church by all these speculation and theories. They felt attracted. You know, Corinth was a city, a Greek city, where the philosopher flocked. There were others who wanted to follow Judaism, the false doctrine of salvation by works, and not following Paul's teaching that they only should believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. Christ alone is sufficient for salvation. And today there are a lot of liberal pastors. Be careful who you listen to over the air, especially. There are a lot of liberal pastors and teachers who deny the deity of Christ. How can you be a church of Christ but yet deny the deity? Especially for the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say Jesus Christ is a God. And others, they reject the inspired Bible. They only see Christ as a martyr. There are some ministers who water down the gospel just to draw a big crowd of people. One of those big churches in New York came under scrutiny the other day. A lot of people, they found out that they were not genuinely saved, but were just show. Just to draw a crowd and gain fame and popularity and money. They are destroying God's temple, the local church. The Bible makes it clear that they cannot do so with impunity, without consequence. At the judgment, they will fall under the wrath of God. They will be damned forever. Believers, be careful who you listen to. The church is one foundation. The church is one foundation. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name in heaven on earth beneath by which man can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Here, at Crossroads, we have two diagnostic questions that we ask those in our interview, those who want to be members, who want to make sure that they are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you come to a place in your life where you know for sure when you die, you will go to heaven? Question number one. If you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? Two questions that reveal your position in Christ. Yes, I know for sure that when I die, I will go to heaven. And when I stand before God and ask him, why should I allow you into my heaven? I'll say, because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He shed his precious blood. I asked him into my heart to make me a new person, to be my savior. And that's what I would say to God. Because of Christ, I will enter into heaven. I want to make sure, not so much the crowd, but people who have truly accepted Jesus Christ, the only foundation. And thirdly, let me go on. God's wisdom will always overcome, will always triumph human wisdom. And particularly talking about the Greek philosophers. And some of the church, people in the church were flocking to them because things they were saying was enticing, but they were not scriptural. And Paul said, God's wisdom would always overcome human wisdom. There was deep division in the church of Corinth because the believers were hating human wisdom and rallying around human leaders. Paul is writing to let them know the lowly place of leaders called to serve God. Who are we? but by the grace of God. Don't heal pastors. Don't heal. Respect them. Be thankful for what they do. Paul is writing to let them know the lowly place of human leader, to serve as minister, and to stop operating by worldly wisdom. They don't want to be perceived as fools by the world. It is possible for a Christian to be deceived because he or she is operating on worldly wisdom rather than the wisdom of God. Become a fool to become wise. Paul is saying to them that the way to become spiritually wise is to become a fool in the sight of the unbelieving world. Christian children leave their homes, leave their church, and go on to college. And when they get there, they want to maintain their Christian character, Christian discipline. And the secular people around them laugh at them. Oh, let's go and drink this. Let's go and smoke. Let's go and do this. And the children said, no. This is not what I was taught. And what? They ridicule them. They laugh at them. You're square. Look at your fool. Not to be enjoying. But the children maintain. They maintain the Christian position despite the ridicule. Pray for our children who leave and go on to college, our young people who go to work in other places. This morning we were studying Timothy. Pastor Dave dealt with the passage where Paul was telling Timothy, you know what you learned from your grandma. You know what you learned from your grandma as a child. How, because of that, you have become a Christian and now you are a leader. The children will say no and get ridiculed. For a Christian to become wise, he must renounce human reasoning and worldly thinking and cling only to Jesus. Hide the word of God in your heart that you will not sin against God. God knows the reasoning of human wisdom. God says human wisdom is nothing, futile, empty, because it doesn't consider God in his reasoning. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. The point is, human wisdom has no place in the local church. The strife and division in the Corinthian church was because they were subscribing to world reasoning. Christians must operate on God's wisdom contained in the inspired word of God, the Bible. Proverbs 2:5-6 says, if you look for wisdom as for silver, you will find the fear of God, and you will find true wisdom. Look for God's wisdom. God's servant must be seen in the right light. So then, let no man boast in men. This whole chapter of 2 Corinthians 13 began with Christians at Corinth divided over which leader they want to follow. Some wanted to follow Apollos. Some wanted to follow Peter. And some wanted to follow Paul. Paul writes that there be no boasting about men who are mere servants of God. Don't limit yourself by clinging to preachers or teachers and disregarding others. Oh, I like the pastor. Oh, I like the other one. Cling to Jesus. Amen? Cling to Jesus. Depend on Jesus as the source of your blessing. All ministers are mere servants of Christ in the local church. The word servant here in the Greek is diakonos, meaning errand boy. and Aaron Bor. That's who ministers are. They are Aaron Bor for Christ. All saints, for that matter, are Aaron runners for Jesus Christ. We all, as Christians, belong to Jesus. In Christ, we have everything. It is all about Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Give glory to no man. God says he will share his glory with no man. All glory belongs to God. All honor and glory belong to God forever and ever and ever. Jesus Christ is the foundation, solid foundation of the local church and the church universal. He is the foundation and hope of your life. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is the foundation and hope of your life, my life. We sang the song, My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less. It's written by a preacher. It was based on the parable I just stated in Matthew about the wise and foolish builder. That's what that song is based on. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, I'm so sorry for Frank Bessinger. Spent $86,000 renovating your house only to find out that it will collapse eventually. What is your hope built on in this life? When those two angels appear to you in heaven and pile up your work, will it burn to nothing when it's tested, or will it remain? Friends, let us serve the Lord with the right attitude. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Honoring Jesus Christ as the only foundation of our lives as Christians is built. If you are here this morning and your hope is not on the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, his precious blood, I ask you to surrender your life this morning. I hope this message is a wake-up call, Christian. Wake up. Let's serve the Lord with diligence. Let's give him our all. Don't drag to come to church. Don't drag to do your work. Don't complain. Serve the Lord with gladness. If you are here this morning and you have not accepted Christ, I ask you to ask him into your heart. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe he died on that cross to save me from my sin. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make me a new person. And he will do so. He's knocking right now. If you are not done so, Father, we thank you. We thank you. Father, we don't want to subscribe to worldliness. On the outside, we look good, but on the inside, Lord, it's all carnality. Please forgive us. Please cleanse us. Please sanctify us. Please renew our minds. That we will honor Christ, the foundation of our lives and the church, and worship the only God of creation. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.